Awesome. Well, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. Bring it on. This morning I'm going to share a little bit about what has happened in Malawi, and then we just did two more wells, but then also I'm going to share something that the Lord has put on my heart as well. So let's jump in. We've relationally been involved with the people in northern Malawi since 2003. This has forged a relationship and a partnership that has brought some incredible fruit for the kingdom. God connected us in order to see a people experience community transformation for His glory. That happens many different ways. And since 2016, we have worked on getting water to people who don't have adequate access. Every year since 2016, we have funded the drilling of two wells. Two more wells were just installed over the last 2 months, actually just last month, which now makes a total of 12 wells serving over 7,000 people with safe, clean drinking water. Man, that is something to be thankful for. The saying in Africa is water is life. Amen. Those from Africa this morning in this service, that is a true saying. It absolutely is. In America, we don't fully understand that. But in Africa, they absolutely do. And I hope in America, we don't ever get reduced to this place to where we realize things that are small matter the most. And I think the Lord is, I won't preach that this morning, but anyways, it is so true. As a result of these wells, people are drawn to the living water, which is Jesus. I want to share some testimonies from the last two wells that were drilled. In the Mayuni well, it serves 90 households, which is three villages, comprised of three villages, between 450 to 630 people. And each household has about 5 to 7 people per household. The situation analysis of the area that this well went into said that there's challenges for many years. People travel up to 3 kilometers. That's 1.86 miles. So that's like walking from here to Dismore's to get your water, to access safe, clean water. The only source of water is a different well where several villages scramble together. This causes the well to be overused and sometimes run out of water. This happens oftentimes when we're pulling water from a well is the water table gets pulled on so much that it actually needs time to refresh. And this results in long wait times. People backed up many hours waiting for this water table to refresh. They get their water and they go back home. This is why this takes so long to get water. So they interview this gal, one gal, named Martha Kapira. A quick video. This is Bishop Elton Mahongo. He's an amazing man. It is such a privilege to be in partnership with him. He is a man of integrity, and I thank God for him. He is actually leading the entire ministry of Holy Cross Church in northern Malawi. We met him as just a pastor, as a bishop, and now he's taken over the entire thing, which oversees 300 churches. They're in 5 different countries, and we have just a really beautiful partnership together. We had him here. Yep, we did. We had him here for a month and a half and helped train him. And he's just, we'll see. God willing, that will happen again. We'll send some of us over there to get trained. Woo, come on. Anyways, this lady, she is the wife of a chief. There's many chiefs in Africa, at least in Malawi, many, many chiefs. She's the wife of one of them. She talks about there's 9 people in her household. Thank you, chicken, rooster. This is just a little bit of the backdrop. So it's 4 of the 9 in her house. Thank you for that. It was asked, how much time do you spend daily getting water? 6 hours. Wow. All right, ladies. 6 hours of your day. Children, 6 hours of your day getting water. That's it. Where do you currently get your water from? She gets her water from the shallow borehole, which basically what they do is they hand dig this and then they seal it with concrete and then they put a pump head on it. So this is, they don't go deep. So in the rainy season, it's fine. You have access to, it's not necessarily safe, because it can get contaminated easy. But in the rainy season, you'll get water. In the dry season, that is it, you're likely not to get water. Question was, how will this new well site help you and your family? The new well, which has already been installed, there it is right there. Hallelujah. It will provide enough water for family, our cattle to have enough water. It will save time. We'll be able to plant vegetables. What is the new distance to this new well site from your home? So from here to Dismorse, all right? Now it's 400 meters, which is from here to the post office. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, absolutely. These are our people. These are our family. How might you spend the additional time you will have in a day when you do not need to get water? Now the family is going to have enough time to work on our farm. Also enough time to get together as a family and have enough food for farming. We'll also have money from sales of vegetables. Thank you, Jesus. All right, the next well site is Mufumu Well. This is 110 households serving between 550 to 770 people. The situational analysis here is the area is far from good roads, and people are drinking from a shallow well during the rainy seasons. The water is not safe, and it's unprotected. During the dry season, they are forced to get water from another well, and some people will walk 4.5 kilometers. That's 2.8 miles. That's like walking from here to Schweitzer for your water source for your family. Early marriages are common in this area. Girls are not encouraged to go to school so that they can assist in getting water. Waterborne diseases are common in this area. So they interviewed a gal named Elizabeth Kumwenda.
Hey, I
have no idea what he said. She is the village health worker. There are six in her household. She spends 5 hours daily getting water. She currently gets her water from this well. See any problems with that? She's a village health worker. And we were there. Pastor Phil, do you remember we went to that open well in Africa? And they say many times there's even snakes next to the well, so you have to be very, very careful of your footing. But that is just an open well. There's all kinds of problems with that. How will this new well site help you and your family? The new well, which has already been installed, it will save time by providing safe and clean water. It will eliminate waterborne diseases, enough water for everything, since water is life. What is the new distance to this new well from the side of your home? 50 meters, 150 feet. That's awesome. From Schweitzer, here to Schweitzer, to 150 feet. Oh my gosh. How might you spend the additional time you will have in a day when you do not need to get water? We'll work on developing our homes, farming, and time for our family. This will help healthy community, good families, better education for our girls. May the Lord bless Holy Cross Church for saving us from our long-time struggles. Amen. You guys. Absolutely. So in every well that is drilled, they work extensively with the village that this well is going into and making sure there's a committee in place. And that committee is more than half women, because women are the ones that are going to the well. They should be able to make the decisions at the well and for the well. So I hear all the women say, amen. And that's what's really cool. So they have this committee in place. It literally gets turned over completely to the villages, because otherwise people would just wait for somebody to fix it. And so when they run and operate it on their own, then it's maintained on their own and it's completely theirs. It's turned over to them, and that is just, it's a beautiful strategy. So, amen. Thanks, Pastor Phil. Hold on just a second. Man, water is life. It's crazy. Next time you take a drink, just go, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you guys are going, I need water. Okay, this is only two of 200 households. The impact of clean water for one of these families is such an incredible privilege to be a part of. Amen. 12 wells, 7,000 people. All of the wells are working and are owned and maintained by these village committees. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, church, for being a part of this and helping to fund this ministry. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'm going to jump into a message, little message, mini message, something the Lord has put on my heart. I've been loving this theme of running your race and that what is happening today. It has been so interesting listening to Pastor Phil and others bring and talk from this perspective. Thank you, Pastor Phil. I really appreciate you. And I appreciate your leadership and delving into, I just really appreciate you. So thank you both. More to come. Yep, good. I love trying to understand and discern these times. I'm so grateful to be in a spiritual community with a spiritual perspective. One thing I'm learning more and more is the necessity of daily bread. That's right. Right, Amir? Come on. Yesterday's bread, yesterday's time with Jesus being in his word is not enough to sustain me for today. You could read a verse last week and then read the same verse this week, and man, it will pop off that page so different. This is the reality of fresh bread. People say, how can you read the Bible over and over? Well, it's easy. It's spiritual bread. And when you read it today, it makes it fresh. In the last 6 months, I have felt like almost every area of my life has undergone some challenge or struggle, from mental to physical to emotional to vocational to financial to social to spiritual. I mean, every one of these has had a struggle, and it has been a battle. This topic of struggle seems to come up in most of the conversations that I get into today. When we get honest, we all have a struggle going on of some sort. And I think everyone here can relate. Amen. I think that's what makes being able to communicate this message this morning so much easier, is I don't believe it's going to fall on deaf ears. There is so much to communicate this morning, and so much that I will not communicate. That's the way the Lord works. You're going to see things, you're going to go, how come he didn't share from that? Because that's the Lord working on you. And I ask that you please share that. As we leave this place, make sure you break bread with one another over the things that you're seeing. This keeps us stirred up together. And I believe that this message will help us go deeper in God this morning. We live in a time where we need to discern the time. Our perspective, or the way we see what is happening in the world, will often impact the way we respond. For example, if you knew somebody was going to break into your house today, would you take the appropriate measures to prevent that and stand against it? You bet you would. Why? Because there's a threat. And knowing or seeing that threat will invoke in you a response or action appropriate to the threat. What about the devil? Do we see him as a threat? Are you aware of his tactics at work against you and others today? I think too often we don't see the devil clearly, and therefore we just ignore him. How often do we ask the Lord to show us the devil's strategies and how they are at work against us today, and then take the time to battle against those strategies, not just talk about them? And I'm not saying talk is bad, but we need to do more than that. In this time we live in, we need to see the enemy clearly. We need to discern the enemy today. The phrase that just keeps coming up in me over the past 6 months has been flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. The title of my message this morning is Empowered to Stand. Towards the end of Ephesians in chapter 6, 10 through 12, Paul says, a final word. Whenever you hear that, you got to bring attention to it. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The United States is 245 years old. In this short amount of time, our country has become very powerful in military might. We are young and powerful. God, I pray we become old and powerful. In our country's history, we have seen some amazing generals and leaders and soldiers do some incredible things on the battlefield against the enemy. The enemy of the United States in the last 245 years has been many. We have grown in our military might as we have endeavored to learn and apply our understanding of our enemy into our military tactics. You have to know about your enemy if you are going to fight him. How old is the church? The church is a couple thousand years old. One of the first uses of the word church is very insightful for us. It's found in Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Oh, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is a powerful phrase. Anyone who makes this claim and lives this claim is a part of what Jesus is going to talk about next. This truth claim is transformational. Do you make this claim? Do you live this claim? Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus said he's going to build his church. And then what follows? "And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Why does he say this? When Jesus talks about the church, he follows it up by something I think is very important for all of us. We need to hear this. He mentions the church's opposition, the enemy. "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome. It will not prevail." As long as Jesus has his church in the world, the church will have an enemy. This isn't the most popular message in today's tolerant world, but it's true. And you and I need to get serious about the devils and his demons at work today if we're going to advance the church effectively. Jesus said this enemy will not overcome the church's assault on him. Hallelujah. Who is the church again? All who believe Jesus is the Messiah. No matter what, this truth in all time will prevail and will result in a people through all time. We are that people in this time. We are the church. Amen? Amen. How old is the devil, our enemy? Well, he's older than the church, which means he's pretty good at what he does. If the United States is only 245 years old and has many enemies with diverse tactics, how much more the church being a couple thousand years old with an enemy even older? Do you think the devil has some pretty good strategies? Often we don't truly acknowledge there is an enemy because we don't see him clearly. Is the enemy, the devil, really real? I think this is an important question to ask ourselves. If he is, how clearly do you see him? You see, we have an enemy that is unseen. And in this culture, seeing is believing. The enemy thrives in this place. An enemy is really good at being the enemy when you live life unaware of that enemy. I mean, let's go back to the robber situation. If I'm a robber, I will go into a town or community where people live unaware of me being a threat. If my strategy is to hang out here for a long time, I will probably not steal big things that you would notice right away. Instead, I'm going to take small things across multiple houses with strategic timing so as not to cause alarm. Even if you don't see me, nor are aware of me, it does not change the fact that I am real and have taken from you. Paul was very aware of this. In the book of Ephesians, he shares something very important that we need to live out today. We fight, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who is the we Paul's referring to here? That's right, Jesus' followers. People who believe Jesus to be the Messiah and live this claim. People who believe there's a kingdom of heaven opposing a kingdom of darkness. people who have a very real enemy and adversary, who is the devil. Paul is talking to these people. Do we acknowledge that we are these people today?
Yes.
Come on. What does Paul say about our enemy? He is not flesh and blood. Maybe Paul couldn't see into 2021. I mean, if he was here with us today, he'd be like, ooh, y'all got some crazy leadership leading today. Forget what I said back then, man. You guys definitely are dealing with the enemy today. I think we have all pointed some fingers at some people who we perceive to be the enemy in the past couple years. I think this has been an incredible tactic of the devil. He is so good at redirecting. We're so caught up labeling humans as the enemy that we don't see clearly what the devil is doing. The enemy uses a person to say, look at me. Ellis, say, look at me.
Look at me.
The whole time I'm looking at Ellis, the enemy's working over here. Because this is where the real, way over there. Yes. Post office. He's good at this. I know many of us can get pretty hot in conversations over some people we think are the enemy. Our opinions are awesome. However, when was the last time we got hot in prayer against the devil? I think if you look at people as the enemy, you're only going to see flesh and blood enemies. If you see it this way, you will live this way and you will play into this script. Don't play into the strategy of the enemy. This has unfortunately divided the church. The church is getting too caught up in flesh and blood enemies and not coming together to battle the enemy, the devil. The enemy Paul is referring to is evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. What world? Mighty powers. What kind? In this dark world. Oh, I don't want to say this world's dark. If Jesus is the light of the world, come on. Evil spirits in the heavenly places. What in the world is Paul talking about? Paul got a revelation of what Jesus was talking about, and he could see the enemy with greater clarity and is trying to show him to you and I. I believe that same clarity is for you and I today. This book of Ephesians was written later on in Paul's life. He has learned a thing or two about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil and shares it with us. He has some powerful things to share. Paul has a couple prayers. I love this in the book of Ephesians. These prayers open up a deep dive, and I personally believe are vital to understanding what he is communicating at the end of chapter 6 when he mentions how to fight the enemy. So let's jump in. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. As I read this, would you receive this in prayer today? I don't want to just read this today. I want us to pray this today. Prayer has a way of bringing truth and revelation in a way that nothing else can. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Yes, Lord. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church,
which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Next prayer, Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, come on, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or we could imagine, according to his power, come on, that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Come on. I cannot even begin to fully explore this morning. Ha! I do encourage you to pray these prayers. This is the prayer that fuels what Paul is talking about when he mentions how to stand against the enemy with the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And now let's read it with this understanding in prayer. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Do you feel like you're struggling against the enemy? That you're in a battle and you just don't feel like you can continue on? Maybe that's because you've been battling in your might. I believe all of us can be strong for a while, but time will take its course and is often one of the greatest actions the enemy uses. Inaction. Time. Who are we over time? We will be known more for how we finish the race than how we started. Stay the course. How do we do this? In his mighty power. His might. Be strong in his might. This is so important for us. God does not want us to go against the enemy in our might. Let's continue on in the reading. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Man, this armor is so important, you guys. Amen. Whose armor is it? It's interesting. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's God's armor. And I don't want us to look at each individual piece this morning and role play sparring techniques, though that would be fun. But rather, I just want to tell you, His armor is his truth. It's his truth. It's his righteousness. It's his peace. It's his faith. It's his salvation. It's his spirit. And what does it say in verse 11? Put on all. And then in verse 13 it says, put on every peace. I think these words are important and they demand our attention. They demand our study and they demand our training. I think they infer that we are likely to put on only parts of the armor. Why all? Because after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Oftentimes, I think we miss an opportunity to go deeper with one another. when we try to encourage each other, when we are battling the enemy by saying phrases like, oh, hang in there. Oh, you'll be okay. And I understand our heart. I understand our heart. And I'm not attacking that. But I think Paul would go a little deeper with us. I think he would say, I get you. This is a struggle because we are in a battle. I don't think he would condemn us, but I think he would have questions regarding our struggle and inspire a counterattack against the enemy as a result. Do we do this with others? I know I have not done this well. You know how many flesh and blood conversations I've been in over the last year and a half? Too many. You know who else knows about these conversations? The enemy. He is very well aware that I am playing into this script. And he is also very well aware that I am not wearing armor. He has launched an assault against me in my vulnerability. And man, I have been in some battles with a lot of struggle. I need you to hear this, guys. Not all struggles are against the enemy. I'm going to say it again. Not all struggles are against the enemy. But some of our struggles have too much struggle because we struggle more than we stand. Do you struggle more than you stand? When we struggle against the enemy more than we stand, we are playing into his strategies and become less effective advancing the kingdom of God. I have reasoned my reality in this realm alone, and it is becoming exhausting. I'm getting tired because I've not been wearing God's armor. I've been wearing a lot of other people's opinions, perspectives, and truths. I've been wearing counterfeits to the armor of God. Listen to this. Counterfeits of truth. Counterfeits to righteousness. Counterfeits to peace. Counterfeits to faith. Counterfeits to salvation. Counterfeits to even spirit. And ultimately, that means fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Paul knew this well. When you are strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, when you are full of love and his spirit, and you are wearing the full armor of God, you can stand. We will never put on the armor of God if we do not see the enemy clearly. There's no reason for it. Why put on the armor if you don't see the enemy clearly? It's like having a motorcycle suit hanging in your closet and you don't even ride a motorcycle. I have a motorcycle, but I haven't ridden it in a while. If you see the enemy clearly, you would never attempt to stand against him without all of the armor of God. This is why those prayers by Paul, they're so important. They open up our eyes and they set a correct spirit in us that helps us discern the unseen. When we see, we get excited about what we are seeing and the power that God has given to bind and loose in order to advance the kingdom. My eyes are looking into the unseen realm more. And I'm seeing more clearly the strategies and the tactics of the enemy. We need to do this more in community. We need to break silence about our struggles. This is the first step to standing. I'm not saying every struggle is of the enemy, but I will challenge us that in every struggle, are we asking the Lord if the enemy is in this struggle? I guarantee you the enemy wants to isolate you. He wants to work against you in your struggle. He wants you to feel alone. We need to ask the Lord to reveal the enemy. Once we see the enemy, what then is our approach? This is why Paul prayed that we might have wisdom, yes, Lord, and revelation. That the eyes of our heart would be open to see. And once we see, let's open up vocally. Let's ask for prayer. Let's get a battle buddy. Let's armor up in God and in his might. Let's pray and let's stand against the enemy. Don't give up. Have you given in? I understand. The enemy is really good about being the enemy. If you feel you have given in, I can relate. I've given in too. My encouragement is that if you're hearing this message, if you're hearing this message today, it's not too late. Let's turn back to God. Let's turn to God. Let's ask Him afresh to empower us for the work ahead. Amen? We will never be discharged from this battle. That is not depressing. Rather, it's a part of our calling and the hope. This battle is not meant to be downcast and gloomy in our soul. Too many portray the battle so heavy that you would think we've already lost. On the contrary, I believe as we stand the way Paul encourages us to, it will bring about a revival of joy as was prophesied last week. We're heading into Christmas season. It's an awesome season. But remember, He came in order that we might overcome in His might. Let's not fight against flesh and blood, but rather stand together against the enemy. Jesus is our greatest gift. And it's an absolute privilege. Following Jesus together in community, empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to advance the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Come on.